if you want to scale and grow well, treat that first one like all of, actually treat all of them like they're your own child. And, you know, they're babies that need a lot of attention. If you don't have the bandwidth to do so, put together a team that can provide the correct oversight you need. Again, to answer your question, it's just persistence, digging deeper. What is your why, you know, and really check yourself and understand what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Ivan Vian is retired Air Force. He's a 20-year veteran. He's a multifamily syndicator, has 2,300 units under management, about $185 million in real estate assets under management as well. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Sam. Look forward to the opportunity to be able to share.
Hey, man, pleasure's mine. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. 90 seconds or less. Where did you start? Where are you now? How'd you get there?
Where did I start? Stumbled into real estate. Mother-in-law said, lady's going through a divorce down the street. Once you buy that single family house, bought the house. Then I bought a second house, tanked me. I realized I need to get mentorship through the mentorship program. I learned about multifamily. My eyes are opened possibilities of multifamily, and I set my target on that and went through this long journey to be able to get to where I am today. But as you said in the intro, today we have done roughly 2,300 doors, around 17 deals in about 6 years' time.
That's a lot. It's a lot of moving pieces. Today, your main role is what?
Yeah, my main role in Anthem Capital is two of us. My business partner's name is Tariq Sattar. He's focused on the transactional side, so acquiring and disposing, and I handle everything in between. Operations side. Given my background, 20 years in the Air Force, I live in an operational environment, a very dynamic environment my entire career. So it kind of suits me well, focusing on that piece with the multifamily business.
Wow. So you handle all the asset management sides of things. Can you tell us, kind of break down what that means for you? Let's just start with that, baby. Just tell us what an asset manager does and then, you know, what your day looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So given the fact that I flew B-1 bombers in the Air Force, I kind of understand things that way still, right? And so in the flying world, you have to understand the target and then build a plan working yourself from the target backwards and how you're going to be able to achieve the overall end goal and objective. So in this case, in multifamily investing, our overall end goal and objective is to realize a return on our investor's investment. So if we have a target return schedule of say 8% cash on cash annualized and 90% total return over the course of 5 years, that's my focus. And then I am leading a team to ensure we meet or exceed those return numbers, right? And so working from a target backwards, then from day zero all the way to day of exit, I'm making sure we stay on path, right? But the way I put it is like this, I lead people and manage processes. Don't micromanage. You cast the vision. You set their eyes on the target where you want them to execute. And in this case, we work with third-party property management companies. We give them the expectation and provide resources for them to be able to execute and perform. And, you know, we do it in a way where if they're able to hit their numbers, property management numbers, we're going to be able to hit our numbers when it comes to setting budgets with the property management company. And then we have weekly calls. I mean, you know, practically speaking, we have weekly KPI calls. We go over the performance numbers and we make real-time adjustments along the way as needed to ensure, again, we hit that big picture end goal of the return on our investor's investment.
When you say that you give the property management company the tools and resources they need for execution, can you break that down a little further for us? What tools do you feel like they need from you on a consistent basis?
Well, first of all, you need people to manage these assets. So how do you view that? So for me, I view people as my greatest asset, my greatest resource. So are you going to min run the manning? Or if you have a 200 unit property, 150 unit property, you say, I'm only going to allow in the budget for one manager and one maintenance guy. And then you let them work 12-hour days and including Saturdays and maybe, you know, on holidays, and then you burn them out. Right. And then your property suffers as a result over the long term. Or do you say, you know what, we're going to build a healthy budget when it comes to allocating proper money towards the labor line items. And like, listen, you're going to go out and build the A team. You're going to have a manager, at least an agent, a maintenance guy, and also a make ready guy. And we're going to pay them market rate. We're going to take care of them and we're going to incentivize them for performing well. So if they were able to hit certain numbers, if it comes down to physical occupancy or hitting a certain income level or decreasing their delinquency by a certain percentage over a specific period of time, then we're going to incentivize them. We're going to give them bonuses or we're going to give them what they want. We got to be able to speak their language. And this is where leading people comes into play, because one particular manager didn't really care about money. She just wanted the time off to go to stay in her cabin on the lake. So that was her language. So like, okay, if you hit these numbers, you're going to get extra days off to go to your cabin to spend time on the lake. Or other managers, you know, they're motivated by money. So the way I see it like this, we have alignment of interest. If the property is performing well and we're exceeding our baseline numbers that we need to hit, absolutely, we're going to give them bonuses. We're going to incentivize them to do so.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of that, like you said, is managing the people and figuring out what it is that they want and then trying to set targets and goals such that they want to work towards getting the things that they want.
The other side of this I was going to mention as well is when you take on like value add projects, there's a capital improvement plan that you put in place.
Right.
And that property needs improvements. And you have a lot of ways to dissect that. Are you going to do in-house turns or are you going to hire third party contractors to do the in-house, to do the interior improvements, right? And so on these calls, for example, we're asking the question, how much rent ready product do you have? Do we need to bring in additional help to be able to turn these units in a timely fashion to drive our revenue growth? If so, then yeah, let's go out and get estimates to see how much it will cost to bring on a third party contractor to be able to turn these units in a timely fashion. So that, to me, that's the other side of resources. You know, we're giving them approval to go out and hire a third party, again, not to overwork them and to create efficiencies in the overall process.
Right, because those are things that the property management company's not going to have just the green light to do as they see fit. I mean, those are things that you guys, that can add additional expense maybe that you weren't counting on, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. You know, and things change all along the way. You know, maybe you had an influx of notice to vacates where more people are leaving the property than you originally expected because you tightened down the controls a little bit more and they reacted, you know, they kind of overreacted. So now you have like 20 vacancies in a particular month. Like, listen, let's find a way to get this done and bring in again, you know, a third party to be able to turn these units.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for taking the time to kind of give us a little bit more color on what an asset manager does. Let's shift a little bit here and talk about, I mean, working a full-time job and growing 2,300 units at the same time. I mean, that's pretty impressive and a lot of work. How'd you do it?
Partnerships, hands down, partnerships. My business partner, Tariq Sitar, he and I have been working together now for going on 8 years. We started in a single family space. I was a hungry investor. I wanted to buy houses. Ran out of capital, got my realtor license to sell houses to earn additional money to put back in the houses. Tariq was my first client. Tariq ended up buying 45 houses through me over the course of 2 years. So to get to 45 houses, we looked at about 600 over the course of 2 years, like five a day kind of thing. So we developed a very good relationship. And it turns out Tariq is an all-star kind of individual, very financially astute man. And he and I had created this vision together that we want to pursue multifamily. And so I leveraged his experience from his corporate days. He was in a construction business. So he was the one that was handling the calls with the attorneys, mortgage brokers, you know, real estate brokers, while I'm flying my airplane at 24,000 feet, right? And so, but you know, when I land or on my way to the gym or, you know, in between one place to the next, I can easily make a call or I can pull over the side and, you know, and send out a quick email, things like that. Or I can have, you know, late afternoon calls with the property management company and still lead people that way, right? And so that's how we're able to build Anthem Capital from ground up, is through our partnership.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of moving pieces. And you're flying, you were based stateside or you were based overseas?
Stateside. My last half of my career is in the reserves. That's the other piece too, is that I didn't pursue a lot of opportunity in the military world where I could have, right? Because that requires more commitment and time. And first of all, you know, committed to my career ultimately. And I had to make sure I kept arm's length distance between my personal aspirations and my military career.
Right.
But, you know, I found a way to have a somewhat flexible career while doing that. And so you have to ask yourself, what are your priorities in life? What is your overall goal? Do you want to make it big in the corporate world? You know, if you're speaking to some other investor looking to jump into multifamily, or are you willing to like not be on the corporate ladder, you know, promotion track so that you can have time to focus on multifamily? For me, I gave up the idea of being a general someday or a colonel. You know, I was fine with that because I wanted this.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like finding what it is that you wanted. And then, like you said, find it. What'd you say early on there? You found the target and worked your way back. And you,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just wanted it, man. Like, you got to have passion about this thing and you got to commit. 100% you got to commit. You cannot be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And, you know, for those that are married, have families or significant others, like, it has to be like, you know, a solidified front across the board, right? You got to have those difficult conversations with your significant other and make sure there's continuity there, because, you know, it involves a commitment, and which means traveling a lot or going to conferences or being on late night meetings or not being available for certain family functions, things like that, right? That's where the rubber really hits the road, right? But, you know, once you start seeing the results happen, you realize there's something to this business. And there's that scary interim period of like, I'm not pursuing military. Multifamily hasn't quite taken off yet. And I know money's coming in, right. You know, and I'm exposed. Like, I have a lot of money out there in the market and very little in capital right now. I think it's the commitment, the steadfastness, the clear vision that allows you to get through that moment.
No, I think that is great. I think all of us have been there at some point where it's like, okay, yeah, we're figuring this out. There's a lot of moving pieces. I like the way you put it. That was so poetic. There's a lot of money out there that we put out in the market. And it's like, okay, we're building something. Having that faith and confidence to move, keep moving forward, I think is the key. Talk to us about the finances side of things since we're talking about that. Are you responsible in any way for raising capital, or is that all on the business partner side?
We're always raising capital everywhere, every day.
Tell me about that process for you guys. What have been some things that you feel like you've done really well that kind of help you guys raise capital for your opportunities?
You know, started out with the multifamily mentorship network, a mentorship program that had an ecosystem. You know, I didn't know a lot of people with millions of dollars, right? So I joined the ecosystem. In my case, is Brad Sumrock, based out of Dallas. And that's where I started raising capital. Then again, through relationships, because real estate, like anything in life, is a relationship business. I found people who already had an investor database and developed a partnership with them. And they came into our deals as co-GPs. Mm. And they provided their network to help raise capital for the deal. You know, on first invest, my first deal was a 3-property portfolio, about a $2.6 million raise. You know, 9 months into this program, we raised $2.6 million.
Wow.
To take down our first transaction, leveraging relationships. And then as you get more experience, you realize you have to develop a marketing platform. So I have a marketing platform back end that I'm building. I have a marketing team now. You know, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm working on the newsletters and the social media posts, Instagram, LinkedIn, all of those things that you need to do to be top of mind when you're out there raising capital. You know, starts with the mindset of you're always raising capital. You know, it's not you don't compartmentalize that. You never know who you're going to run into. Right. And so part of that is like, what it is you do. Do I buy and own apartments? No. What I actually do is this, is that I help people invest passively in deals to maybe meet or exceed their income, to earn passive income and to save money on taxes. So like, if you go out about your day with that mentality, it kind of changes your perspective on how you approach your day when you talk to people.
Right. I like that a lot. And, it's often been said, and I'm not sure if I agree with it or not, but it's a nice idea, is that, hey, you know, what you have, investors need. And or they say that the investor needs you more than you need the investor. I've heard that phrase as well.
That's good.
Yeah, I think it is good to a point. It's starting out, though, for people who are looking to scale their business. It's not exactly any comfort because it's still like, man, that just seems like that's a tall hill to climb. You know, starting out, whether or not they need you or not, it's finding and locating them. And then, like you said, and like you gave away the key there, was that, you know, you joined a group that had an ecosystem that already kind of understood this process out of the gate. And people like you coming in that maybe didn't have the deep bench of capital raising experience could get in there and kind of figure out a way to flourish early on. Sound like that was a key for you.
100%. Absolutely. Would not be here today if it wasn't for the ecosystem that I joined, immensely shortened that timeline for me to get up and running.
When you see people, and I'm sure you've seen them inside of that group, because they're, you know, there's always successes and there's always failures. What do you see some of the keys are for the people that join a group like Brad Sumrock's group or another one? What are some things you see them do to help them scale? Maybe the, when you see some others, you know, potentially come in and languish, what's the difference?
One of the key differentiating factors, I think, is persistence and taking massive action. Again, it goes back to what I said earlier, commitment. The process will test you how committed you are. You can easily get discouraged when you put in 50 offers and you get zero LOIs out of the process,
right?
Where you're driving in a submarket, you know, days on end, looking for opportunities and nothing comes about. At the same time, those people that don't give up, that stay persistent, eventually over time, they will get the first deal.
Right.
And now they're on the map. And that's the hardest part, is getting to that first one. But now they have a track record. Now they have some credibility, and brokers now, you will now be on the broker's radar for the next opportunity. Okay. And then that first opportunity is your opportunity to the next opportunity. That's one thing that for me, it's important. Like, I want to make sure I'm handling home base before I go and go find another opportunity. Right. And so, like, if you want to scale and grow well, treat that first one, like all of, actually treat all of them like they're your own child. And, you know, they're babies that need a lot of attention. Right. If you don't have the bandwidth to do so, put together a team that can provide the correct oversight you need. Again, to answer your question, it's just persistence, digging deeper. What is your why, you know, and really check yourself and understand what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it. And once you have clarity in that, the action piece takes care of itself. You will take massive action, right? You will push through the tear barrier, if you will, and keep at it, knowing that it's yours.
I love it. That is great and well-earned and hard-earned advice you've just given. Ivan, taking the time to come on the show today and tell us about your business, tell us about your history there in the Air Force and how you scaled to 2,300 units, you know, finding partners to raising capital to really out of the gate, hit the ground running and, you know, not give up. So really appreciate you taking the time to share. And of course, talking about the asset management side of the business as well, which is a piece of this equation. I think that obviously, that's the part that really matters. That's the part that makes this business either work or not work, but it's oftentimes overlooked. It's the position that most people don't really think about on their team, like, oh, we need an asset manager. So obviously, you are extremely valuable in what you do and how you do it. So thank you for taking the time to break that down as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sam. It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. You have a great rest of the day.
Absolutely. You as well. One last question for you. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you and deals that you guys are working on, what is the best way to do that?
Absolutely. Yes. Come find us at our website, anthemcp.com. Anthem as in like national anthem, C as in cat, P as in papa.com, anthemcp.com. Connect with us, fill out a contact form there, and we'll stay in touch.
Awesome. Ivan, thank you again. Have a great rest of your day.
Absolutely. You too.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.